Today, I'm going to talk about gracious attitude. Amen? And let me tell you the story. There was a story of a man who had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital. The doctor said he could receive little company and was not to be excited. So the doctor said, please do not visit this guy and don't, you know, make him excited because something worse might happen. While in the hospital, a rich uncle died and left him $1 million. His family wondered how to break the news to him with the least amount of excitement as possible. Guess what? It was decided to ask the preacher if he would go and break the news quietly to the man. So the preacher went and gradually led up to the question. So the preacher is really wise and asked the question. Said, he said something like this. So what are you going to do? What would you do if you inherited $1 million? And the patient said, I think I would give half of it to the church. The preacher dropped dead. Hopefully that won't happen to us if somebody gives. Although this is a funny story, all of us can agree that having a gracious attitude, whether seen through how we give our time, words, treasures, or service, can really make a lasting impression or impact to the people that we meet every day. Agree? The word gracious is defined in the dictionary as pleasantly kind, benevolent, courteous. In Christian belief, the word is used as showing divine grace. God's gracious intervention experienced by man when God graciously gave mercy, forgiveness, compassion, forbearance through faith in His Son, Jesus. It is something that we don't deserve, but because of His love for us, He gave it to us. That's why a person who has truly and genuinely experienced the gracious love, forgiveness, and mercy of God by faith in Jesus will reflect the same kind of gracious attitude towards others. In other words, we cannot give what we don't have. Amen. Let me ask you this question. How many in this place have experienced the grace of God upon your life? Amen. So if you have experienced the grace of God, then you have something to give because you have received so much from Him. Billy Graham said, God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for giving. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4 verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I believe that one of the ways we can make the most of every opportunity with our encounters with people is when we develop a gracious attitude that will make our moments with others not just memorable moments or fun moments, but it will become God moments that can bring salvation, change, healing to the people that we meet. The main text we're going to use for today's study is found in 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. The Apostle Peter was encouraging the church that in spite of the persecutions that they are facing for their faith, to continue to pursue God's will and not to live the way the pagans do, in sin, selfishness, and worldly pleasures. You see, if you look at 1 Peter, this was written to the church that was going through severe persecutions and trials. And Peter was really saying to them, you know, focus your eyes on God. You know, focus on doing what God wants you to do. How many of you in this place knows and understand that when you're going through a difficult time in life, it's really hard to follow God? Your emotions are in shambles. Doubts come in. Confusion sometimes, you know, is in our minds and we cannot even think or understand or what to do next. And when this happens, and if our foundation is not founded on the very grace and love of God, it's really hard for us to function. That's why when we read this verse of scripture, I want you to have this in mind, that Peter was writing to the church who was going through severe persecution and trials in life. Let us read it together in 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. You can follow with your eyes, and let me read it for you. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Can you bow down your head with me and pray? Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We ask, oh Father, that You just give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what Your Spirit will say. May Your words change our lives. May we be more gracious towards others because You've been so gracious to us. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say to them, I'm blessed today because you're right next to me. Look at them. Okay. I'm blessed today. Even though it's not true, you can repent later. It's okay. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. After reading the main text, the question we need to ask ourselves is this. As believers in Christ, how can we grow in developing a gracious attitude towards others? And the reason why we want to do this is for the purpose of encouraging our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those who are not Christians or in the process of seeking who Christ is, hopefully that through our sincere desire to reflect God's gracious blessing, will create a desire in their hearts to come to know Jesus. I believe that the starting point is to look at and remind ourselves of letter A, the blessings and the benefits in receiving and experiencing God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. We need to be reminded of this. We need to look at this first. For us who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, this part of the sermon, the first part, will be more like a reminder. But for those who are just seeking or investigating what this Christianity is, hopefully after this first part of the sermon, you will know how much Jesus loves you and experience the blessings of giving your life to Him. Number one blessing and benefit in receiving and experiencing God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus is by saving us from sin, death, and condemnation. How many say amen to that, right? That He saved us from sin, death, and condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible tells us, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Every time I read this word, it really blows my mind away. Christ Jesus became sin for us. And sometimes we take this lightly because we just see Him hang on the cross and He suffered and He died and we just think about the physical pain, but we don't really think about the emotional pain, the mental pain that Jesus went through while on the cross. You have to understand this. When the sins of the whole world were placed upon Him, God the Father turned His back on Him. That's why He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The sinless Son of God took our place. Can I repeat what I said? The sinless Son of God became sin for us that we may have this wonderful relationship with God. And He had overcome death and condemnation. Look at Romans 8, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, there is now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So therefore, today, if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you can come before God with all boldness and confidence, not because of your own righteousness or goodness, but because of the righteousness and the goodness of God. It's not about what we do for God. It's all about what He has done for us. And if we live on a daily basis with that thought in our mind, then we can come to God without fear. But we do fear Him because we respect Him with all our hearts. Without fear meaning that we know for a fact that Jesus has already done the work for us. What we cannot do for ourselves, He did it for us. I like that one lyric that says that there is no striving in His grace. Amen. Amen. Number two blessing and benefit is by forgiving us and removing our guilt and our shame. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Every time I talk about how much God has forgiven me, you know, I just sometimes tear up because without His forgiveness, I don't know if I'll be able to stand in front of you today. You know that the truth of His forgiveness upon our lives has set free so many people who have struggled with condemnation, with sin. See, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have done stupid stuff in the past that we are not proud of. How many say amen to that? And the reason why we can move on from all these stuff that we have done is because of the forgiveness of God. He has brought so much healing. You know, I've talked to people who in private, in secret, and they tell me about their experiences in the past of being a pastor. That's one of the things that you do. You talk to people. You want to become a source of healing or encouragement to the people that is around you. Especially if they know that you're a pastor, for some reason, you know, they look at you like a confession booth and they just divulge their life to you. And this one lady, you know, confessed that she has committed abortion. You see, she was explained that during that time it was really difficult and because of the circumstance has forced her to do things that she didn't really want to do, but for convenience sake and because of the things that she was going through and still young, she chose to do the things that she didn't want to do. The sad thing about this is that, yeah, you do this abortion thing and maybe you'll be comfortable, but inside it can eat you up. And that's what happened to this lady. Not until she gave her life to Christ and realized the forgiveness of God. Now she can move from her past and look forward to a bright new day that God has for her. And actually she speaks about this and as a testimony to the people that is around her. Forgiveness of God. Amen. We don't deserve it, but He gave it to us. Thirdly, is by adopting us as His children and giving us eternal life. All of us know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 8:15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought out your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry out, Abba, Father. Through the blood of Christ, we are adopted into His kingdom, not as slaves, not as servants, but as sons and daughters. Ooh, you are family. You know your privileges as a family member? You know, I talk to people, again, you know, because of being a pastor, you know, I talk to people who have, you know, and they have heartaches because they've been adopted by, although the adopting family loved them so much, but you know, this guy, you know, still feels abandoned because, like, he wonders, like, why did my family left me? I don't get it. Even though this person belongs in the family, for some reason, if you are experiencing, or if you experience that, or you're in that situation, what happens is that, you know, there's something missing in your life that you want to find out what it is. And I was explaining to him that, looking at this particular verse of scripture, that all of us are adopted into the kingdom of God. Therefore, all of us are adopted in a sense. And that brought healing upon his life. And I was telling him too, you know what? You are really blessed. Why? Because if you are just naturally born to a family, the family has no choice. It was naturally born, you know, no choice. Rikar, Isaiah, my two kids, no choice. But if you're adopted, out of all the kids that was running around, they chose you. Adopted into the kingdom of God. In the second part of the sermon, we are going to look at the grateful response of a person who has genuinely received and experienced the grace of God. This is the reason why I actually started the first part of the sermon and just went through it briefly, because I want us to be reminded of the things that God has done for us. And when we are reminded of the things that God has done for us, hopefully we'll be so grateful and thankful that we'll respond the way God wants us to respond. So that we will do things for God, not because we have to or because of quote-unquote religious duties. We do things for God because we want to. A genuine encounter with God will always bring an inner change in a person's life. And in time will be seen outwardly in how they live their lives and treat others. We call this in theology progressive sanctification, or to make a simple term, Christian maturity. The more that you grow in your relationship with God, the more you will reflect who He is in your life. How many say amen to that? Amen. Now let me share to you four responses from a person who has genuinely received and experienced the grace of God. Number one, that they will be gracious in their ways. Under that, letter A, the way they receive others. Let me read to you 1 Peter verse 8 and 9 and Colossians 3:12. 1 Peter 8 and 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Look at Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you look at our bulletin, you know, inside of our bulletin, where we state our God-given mission as a church, it says is to build a multi-ethnic community of winners in Christ. Amen? Right? Easier said than done, right? Right? One of the ways that we can accomplish this mission is to develop a gracious attitude seen in how we receive people who don't look like us, talk like us, and culturally have different ways of doing things or even type of music or food that we like. You know, I believe that as we grow in developing a gracious attitude towards others, we can learn to embrace our differences, celebrate our uniqueness, and learn how to work together to fulfill God's call as a church in advancing God's kingdom and making disciples. And besides, according to the scripture, heaven will be a place where you will see people from every nation. How many say amen to that? You know, I mean, it's good to say multi-ethnic church. I love that. But again, we need to ask God to give us a gracious attitude, because in order for this to happen, our hearts needs to be open for people to come in who don't look like us, talk like us, or even eat the food, the same food as we eat. I mean, sometimes even in offices, they already have this problem. You know, especially if they have Filipinos there, if they heat up in the microwave like tinapa, or, you know, fish, and it smells the whole office, you know. And they said, who did this? You know what I'm saying? Then everybody gets mad. You know, if we were not sensitive with other people, then it's going to be hard for us to build a church that has different people. And I believe that God wants us to do this, because in the future, when we do go to heaven, we will see people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Amen? And we need to be intentional in doing this. How am I saying amen to that? Amen? Do you want to share with us in fulfilling this mission that God has given us? Amen. If you look at this, it says here in Revelation 7:9, this is the Apostle John. It says that after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, the other way that we can show gracious attitude is in the way that we forgive. Look at Colossians 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has grievance against someone, I want you to look at the last part of the verse. Forgive as the Lord, what? Forgave you. I want you to focus on that. And if you have your Bibles, underline that. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, let me tell you this story. A person that I know. So close to me and dear to me. When she was younger, she was molested. And growing up, this really affected her in her life. You know, she was trying to live life and trying to figure herself out, but because of the memories that was done against her, not because she wanted it, but it was forced on her, really damaged her emotions and her heart. And because of that, it led her to do things that is not pleasing before God, got into alcohol, got into drugs, got into all these things that is just to numb the pain. Imagine at the young age, somebody that you trust is doing something to you that was not supposed to be done to you. And then she became a Christian. And when she became a Christian, growing in reading God's word, growing in her faith in God, she started to look at about the forgiveness of God. And And that was hard for her to read because it's like, hey, to receive forgiveness is easy, but to show forgiveness now, that's a different thing. You really need the grace of God to do so. And while she was praying and asking God, and then, you know, according to her testimony, she had a vision. I don't know if it was a vision or a dream, but she had this experience where she saw Jesus hang on the cross, looking down at her. And she said to her, and Jesus said to her, come up next to me, because behind the cross was a ladder. So she went up the ladder, right? And her face was next to Jesus' face. And when she looked down, lo and behold, the faces that she saw was all the people that have hurt her in her life, including the person that has molested her. And Jesus looked at her with eyes of compassion and said to her, I died for them too. She got the message. Jesus was trying to say to her, as I have forgiven them, please forgive them too. You see, forgiveness can really bring so much healing in a person's life. Forgiveness is not to say that I'm letting go of whatever that was done to me. And forgiveness is about you saying, God, because you forgave me, I choose to forgive. And the beauty of that is this. When you choose to forgive, it's not really for that person that you forgave. Although, yes, they will benefit for it, but it's more so for you. Because you will bring into a place where healing can happen in your life. That you chose to allow God's forgiveness to reign and rule over your life and be gracious towards others, of the same forgiveness that you have received from Him. And when that happens, healing can happen. And to tell you honestly, that this person, before when she would talk about this, tears would be rolling down on her face. But now when she talks about it and becomes a testimony to others, man, she can tell the story with a straight face and with victory and joy, because this thing does not affect me anymore. Because if you don't choose to forgive, you will choose to live in the past. And if you live in the past, again, I'm going to repeat this. If you live in the past, there is no future. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. Maybe the reason why you have a bad mood every day, or maybe the reason why you've been difficult with others, is because maybe there's issues in your life that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's still unforgiveness in your heart that God wants you to say, just release it and allow my healing to come into your heart so you can live the life that I want you to live. And if that is you, hopefully after the end of the service, we'll give you a chance to just release it to God. Say, God, give me the grace. You've been gracious to me with your forgiveness. Help me to be gracious with my forgiveness towards others. Amen. The other thing that we can be gracious to others is that we can be gracious with our forgiveness. And another one is that the second grateful response of a person who has genuinely experienced the grace of God will be heard by their words. Letter A, they speak life to others. In Colossians 4, verse 6, the Bible tells us, let your conversations be always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let me tell you the story. There was a story about a husband and a wife were having an argument. Finally, out of sheer frustration, the husband blurted out, and he said, with a loud voice, honey, I don't know why God made you so beautiful and yet so stupid at the same time. This was not me, okay? This is somebody else, okay? Okay. And the woman stared at her husband and said, well, God made me beautiful so you could love me, and God made me stupid so I could love you. Yeah. Got him. The Bible tells us that there is life and death in the power of the tongue, right? Whether we like it or not, or whether we believe it or not, the words that we say really matters, especially to your loved ones. You can use your words to build up people, or you can use your words to tear them down. It's really your choice. That's why I go by the saying, if I have nothing good to say, I won't say it. Unfortunately, that we live with people that is around us. Hopefully, it's not the person next to you that they have what I call diarrhea of the mouth. No filter whatsoever. And to tell you honestly, there are times that, you know, when I was young, things that was said to me when I was younger, I wish they would just slap me in the face instead of saying it. Because if they slap me in the face, it will just hurt for a while. But words, they stick to your mind. And you rewind it, you review it. And if you are not wise in what to receive and what not to receive, whatever people say to you, you start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, then you start to live it. And when you start to live it, then you believe a lie, then you're living a lie. That's why a lot of people today are not living the life that God has called them to live, because they are continually living a lie that once a person said to them when they were younger. Words are very powerful. That's why I always speak life to my kids. I always speak life. I don't flatter people. I speak life. I speak the truth of God's word. You are forgiven. You are loved by God. And if you do that, and if you say to those people that you love the purpose, and that you then you speak destiny and life to them, because you're speaking God's word over their life. Amen. We need to be aware of that. And we need to be careful about this too, about our own lives. Be careful in what you speak to yourself. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not as handsome as Pastor Alan. Oh, I'm not. Yes, you say these things, you know. Oh, I cannot do it. Oh, if you speak these things into your life, you're speaking things to existence, things that are not supposed to exist in your life. I'm not talking about being like a LeVar Ball, and I'm saying that's more positive. I'm talking about speaking God's word into your life, because God's word is truth. Amen. So you're speaking truth into your life. Amen. Praise God. Because if you know the truth will what? Set you free. Amen. Amen. Letter B, speaking the truth of God's word in love. Now, this is kind of like harder, because you have friends or families are not walking the way God wants them to walk. And because you love them, you want to speak God's word, the truth in love. And that's one of the ways that we can be gracious towards others, is to be truthful to them. Amen. A lot of people nowadays, they're truthful, but yet they want to declare truth to others, but for the reason of hurting them. Now, that's not, I don't prescribe to that. We want to declare truth to others so that we can bring healing upon their lives. And we do it because out of love. 1 Peter 4, the Bible tells us, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Ephesians 4, verse 15, the Bible tells us, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. 2 Timothy, verse 3:16, the Bible tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, what? Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So every time that we speak the word of God in love to others, it brings, you know, of course, correcting, rebuking, and teaching. But the end result of that is that person will be trained in what? Righteousness. All of a sudden, there's a change in their attitude. There's a change in their behavior, because you are faithful in teaching God's word, especially to your kids. Amen? The third and grateful response of a person who has genuinely experienced God's grace will be seen and felt by their works. I'm saying amen to this, right? By their works. Letter A, they do good by serving others. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Look at this one. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. I believe one of the ways that we can really do good to others and be gracious to them is first realizing how much Christ Jesus has served us. And if we realize and understand the kind of service that Christ has done for us when he died on the cross, and he continues to serve us by giving us the grace and the strength to do the things that we need to do in this earth, then we can serve others with the strength that he provides. I like what Peter put here, with the strength that God provides, because if I would serve others with my own strength, I will not last. If I would serve others with my own way of loving people, I will not last, because I need God's love to flow through me to effectively serve others. How many know sometimes it's really hard to serve others, especially if they're unlovable? Well, you're laughing because that's true, right? Amen. You do things for them and they don't appreciate you. You do things for them, they mock you. They do things for them and they're not satisfied with what you gave. You gave them water, how come there's no ice? There's always a complaint. That's why I love my wife so much. She serves me with all her heart. On a good day, amen. Amen. Do good to others by serving others, amen. Now look at letter B. They serve with the right motive. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 to 4. Let me read this for you. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Although this particular verse of scripture is particularly for pastors or the leaders of the church during that time, the same principle applies to people that you serve. Amen? That when you do things for people not because you have to. You do things for people because you want to. That you are willing to serve them because you want to communicate God's love to them. Now, if that is your motivation in serving, whether in church or whether in your own family, then they will see the genuine act of love that you are reflecting through Christ. And when that happens, they will actually be convinced that, hey, you know, this person is really a Christian, or this person really follows God, because the way they serve is, you know, there's no strings attached. You know, some people, they serve like yo-yo. You know what a yo-yo is? Yeah, you, and then it comes back to you. Some people say, okay, I'm going to serve you, but I have to get something back. Need to cut the string. Because when God serves us, he served us with all his heart. Let me say this to you. Maybe 7 years ago, eight or nine years. No, it was a long time ago. I forgot, so many years ago. You know, my wife and I really struggled with our marriage in the beginning. I guess all of us do. And it was difficult at first. But I remember this one time God spoke to me. And I can hear it up to today. I can hear it in my mind. And she said, like, you know, she gave a vision in her face in my mind. She said, you know what? Love her. Love her. She's special. Love her. In spite of how we treated one another, and things were not going well in our family. And I remember praying to God and saying, God, if you're going to love my wife, please love her through me. I want to be that instrument. And my wife knows this. I love her with the love that God has loved me with. Therefore, I don't ask for anything in return, because that's the command that God has given me. And I believe if we have this kind of same attitude in serving one another, starting in the home and in the church, that we can see the church grow, and they will see to Charisma Life Church that people around, wow, this is Christ's disciples because they love one another. Amen. Lastly, almost done. Fourth and final grateful response of a person must genuinely experience the grace of God will be seen by their worship. I'm going to say amen to that. Amen. They give all glory to God according to 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Our worship to God is not only expressed in how beautiful we sing or how loud we shout or clap. It is more so expressed in how we respond in obedience to God's leading and commands. Every time we choose to say no to sin, it is an act of worship. Every time we choose to forgive, it is an act of worship. Every time that we remain steadfast and firm in our faith in God, in spite of the difficulties or unfortunate circumstances we face in life, like a sudden death of a loved one, or news that you have cancer, and like Job, you will still choose to say, "Blessed be the Lord forever." That is an act of worship. Let me show you a picture of this family. This family right here, I don't know if you saw this in the internet, but it is going viral. And this family right here, I don't know them personally, to tell you honestly, but their story has touched me. The name of the mother is Lori Lee Goh. The three children passed away because of liver cancer, one after the other. Started with the eldest, and at the age of 27, contracted the liver cancer. Maybe after a few years, passed away. And after a few years, the second son had liver cancer. And after a few months, passed away. And the last one, his name is Hisam. The mom was really devastated, crying. And she said, "God, if you have one gift for me, please allow my son to live. Only one gift." After a few months, he too passed away. What encouraged me about this story is her faith in God in the midst of a very, very, very difficult situation. When I was watching this, and I'm not even going through this, in my heart I felt like, "God, are you really real?" I even start to question my own faith. Like, and I'm not the one going through it. But what she said really struck me, because she said, like, "You know what? The things that happened to me, these are trials in life given by God. And actually, I look at it as a gift, because that time that I have with them is a gift that God has given me." Actually, one of the kids, before he passed away, he said, like, "You know, let's be thankful to God." Why? Because at least I have the chance to prepare myself to meet him. I ask for forgiveness. Not like other tragedies where just they suddenly die. Instead of getting mad at God, she chose to worship God. If there's anyone who has a reason to get mad at God, it's this person. But she chose to humble herself in worship, because she knew for a fact that this life that we have here on earth is only temporary. And one of these days, she will see her sons again. You see, that's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's the faith that we hold on to. This is the strength that we get from having faith in God. Because every time that we show faith in God, it puts us in a place, in a position where we focus on who God is and what He's done and what He will do. That in this life is not the end. Our story is not ended yet. God has the final say. And if we choose to worship God in the midst of a very chaotic situation, you will find yourself not giving up, not getting mad at God, because to tell you honestly, it's useless to get mad at God. You will never win. Instead, put your faith and trust Him. Say, "God, I don't understand what's going on, but I know You're the only one who can heal me. You're the only one who can give me the strength to go through this." Our grateful response to God is to worship. It's to worship. The reason why a lot of people have an unhealthy view of who God is, because they think that God owes them something. But in reality, God does not owe us anything, but we owe everything to Him. Let us bow down our heads, and I'm going to ask my wife to sing this song. And can I ask everybody, if you are here today and you just want to express your gratefulness to God, and say, "God, you know what? You know, in the past, I've been grumbling, I've been complaining because I'm not getting what I want. The things that I prayed for is not being answered the way I want it to be answered. For some reason, I thought that I deserve all these things. But today I've realized that I don't even deserve your love, but you love me anyway. Please forgive me if I got mad at you. Please forgive me if I've said things that... But today, God, I choose in my pain to worship you. Because I know that you're the only one who can turn my pain into praise. You can turn my beauty to ashes. As we sing this song, and if you just want to really say, God, I just need a fresh touch from you today. And I want to express my gratefulness to you by worshiping you and praising you. And if that is you, and as we sing this song, can we all stand up? And then, it is just for being grateful, can you come forward right now and just worship with us? Come forward right now. Get out of your seats. Come out of your seats. And just allow God as we sing.